Well, good evening, folks. Good to see you back with us again tonight for our Wednesday night Bible study. And hopefully you were able to check your emails. I know the prayer bulletin got emailed out for this week, and so please reference that. Make sure you have your time of prayer sometime, and use that throughout the week as well. Before we get started with our Bible study tonight, I just wanted to give you a few announcements so you know what's taking place here in the next few days or so. Easter's coming up, of course, and this year it's going to be a little bit different than in years past. But this Friday, we are planning on having a Good Friday service. And what we're going to do to make it more than just Pastor Taylor and myself, we're actually going to go back into the archives last year, in fact, and re-air our Good Friday service from last year. So you'll be able to be a part of that. If you weren't able to be here last year for Good Friday, we do have that recorded. And I know right now we have a lot more people that are live streaming. So this will be new for many folks, I'm sure. Either way, the story is the same, and we're celebrating the same. So I trust you'll take and be looking for that Friday night at, what time was that? I believe it was 6 o'clock. We'll be airing that, 6 o'clock on Friday night. Now, Sunday was going to be a little bit different as well, Easter Sunday. So starting off at 9:30, you want to have all of your kids together for a special Easter Sunday school time. Mrs. Tippett is going to be teaching that class with a special Easter lesson. And as well, there's a craft that she's going to help the children do during that live streaming time. Now, in the next day or two, if you're a regular attender of Grace, you need to be listening and waiting for a knock at your door. We have a small package that we'll be delivering to each one of the children's homes. And in that package is, of course, some chocolate, some Easter goodies, but then also a craft. And that will be the craft that Mrs. Tippett will be helping them do Easter Sunday morning. And parents, if you want, you can just build up the anticipation or just tease your kids and set it on top of the refrigerator and they can't open it until Easter. That might be kind of fun to do. After the Sunday school hour is over with at 10:30, we will be live streaming our Easter service as well. Now, I will say Sunday night, there is no evening service, okay? Instead, Pastor Taylor and I are going to be team preaching the Easter service on Sunday morning, and I hope we'll be able to connect with you at that time. Let's go ahead and look at our lesson. Hopefully you were able to download or print those notes that were posted, I know, on the website and be able to follow along. If that helps you do that, that's why we provide them for you. Now, so let me ask you a question. Have you chosen someone yet? If you remember last week, we considered the first step in discipling is simply choosing someone. Have you considered who you're going to choose? Well, now that we've chosen someone, we now have to establish what our goals are for that relationship. Just what is it going to look like? Are we just going to, like, call each other once a week? Say, hey, how you doing? Do you have any prayer requests? Well, that would be a good start. But it needs to be more than that. We need to be so intentional about this. We have to have established what our goals are going to be for that relationship. The larger goal, of course, is to help them follow Jesus. But just how do we do that? Perhaps some of us have friends that have been friends for a very, very long time. Is that a discipling relationship? Would we call that a discipling relationship? How do we know if it's that kind of a relationship? How can we tell? Well, let's look at how to answer that question tonight. The first goal there needs to be established in a discipling relationship is that of helping people to understand more. Our first goal should be to help them understand more about Jesus. The Word of God should be, no, it needs to be part of a discipling relationship if it is to be considered a discipling relationship. Now, folks, we may have been friends with this person for many, many, many years, but if the Word of God is not, has not been a part of our interactions, it may not be a discipling relationship. Listen to what Paul tells Timothy. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16, he says, "Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." Did you hear what Paul just said there? He said, remember the Word of God, stick to the Word of God, and if you do this, you will benefit not just the other person, but yourself as well. So this is the key point in discipling. As I said before, it doesn't matter what you know or you don't know about the Bible. It doesn't matter if you've had Bible training or no Bible training. It doesn't even matter if you've been saved for 50 years or 5 days. When you enter into a discipling relationship with the Word of God, not only will you help that other person increase in their knowledge of God, but you will as well. It's kind of a win-win situation, if you will. And it is through discipling that we help other people know why we should pray. Help them to know why we should be baptized, why we should go to church, why we should be a member of a church. Help them to know how the sovereignty of God should affect our lives, especially during a time like this. Jesus tells us to make disciples by teaching people what to obey and how to obey. But they can't obey what they haven't been taught. So we first have to teach. Have you ever heard of the life, truth, life principle? Well, let me explain that for you. This is what our discipling should look like. Our life should attract people to listen to us. Our teaching, our time with them in God's Word, our sharing of God's Word with them should work to transform them. Then their transformed lives should illustrate what we have taught them and shared with them, which then attracts others to listen to them. And so the cycle would then continue. That's what a discipling relationship should look like. So I wonder, do we have friends with maybe little issues? Yeah, I don't want to put a specific word to them, but they just have this thing that's not quite right, biblically speaking. They just have a few areas that, yeah, they need to work on, and maybe we say, well, that's just the way they are. They've been that way for years. And let's say we've been friends with them for years. Have we been teaching them what God's Word says? Sharing with them what God's Word says about that little thing in their life? Exhorting them with God's Word? Maybe we've taken the approach, well, it's none of my business. I'm praying for them. And that's good. We should pray for them. But God says to teach others to obey. If it is truly a discipling relationship, then we would be doing those things with this person that we say is our friend. Our goal in discipling is to help other people understand more. Now, the second goal that we need to have is this: help people to live better. Having Bible knowledge is great, but we also have to do the Bible knowledge. Now, maybe we all know people like this, too. In fact, if we're honest, maybe we can be like this sometimes. We've been around the Bible for so many years. We know so much about the Bible. But do we always do what we know? We're not living what we know. A discipling relationship helps us and others to know what we need to do and to do what we need to do. Or in other words, to know what we need to do and to do what we know. There's a natural accountability factor that kicks in this type of relationship. Consider Paul's words with me, if you will. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 15, Paul says, "For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me." Again, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul writes this, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." Philippians chapter 3 and verse 17, he writes, "Brethren, be followers together of me. Mark them which walk, so as ye have us for an example." Now, let's leave that verse up for a minute, if we could. Just look at that verse. Again, he's saying, be followers of me. But let's not miss the rest of that verse. He is saying, mark them which walk so, as ye have us for an example. In other words, those people that are living their lives the same way that we are, Paul is saying, if they live the way we do, mark them. If they're doing the Bible, mark them. Now, in order to do that, we have to be looking for people that are living the Bible, that are examples of what it means to follow Christ. We need to look for them, we need to mark them, and we need to follow them. God calls us in this world to resist the temptations and the pressures that are in this world. The temptations and the pressures that are on us to conform to the world instead of being transformed into Christ-likeness. The Bible says that we are to be blameless, living in this world. But how? How do we do that? We need examples of how to do that. We need to mark those that are examples, and then follow them. We need these examples. So, what is Paul saying here? You be an example. Be an example of what it is to be a disciple. As we're studying what God says we need to do, now we know what we need to do, and now we need to do what we know. Be a disciple. Be an example in all these other areas that we already know what we should be doing. The best way to be an example to someone within a discipling relationship is to just spend time with that person. It's more than just saying, hey, on Sunday. It's during the week, intentionally choosing to interact with them regularly. Being transparent. In other words, taking off the Sunday morning persona that we put on when we come to church. Just be real with them. Let them see realness in you. Let them see the good and the bad in your life. Be transparent. Let them see how we handle the bad when it comes into our life. And stay focused on that person. Stay focused on that relationship. Listen to how Paul involved Timothy in his life. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Paul writes, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, my long suffering, my charity, and patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured. But out of them all the Lord delivered me. Timothy saw it all. Timothy saw Paul in the good, the bad, and the ugly. He was there with him. He experienced Paul's life as Paul was experiencing his life. And Paul saw before him an example of not always how to do it, but I'm sure he learned as well from Paul how not to do things, because Paul wasn't perfect. He, at the end of his life, he said, I'm the chiefest of sinners. And Timothy, because he was allowed to be with Paul during life, he was able to see not just how to act when you go to church on Sunday, but how to live life with integrity. Paul was open and transparent with him. We want people to improve their prayer life, to continue in church membership. We want them to see from our example how to forbear one another when we have been offended. We want them to see from our example how to forgive others when they've offended us. We want them to see from our example how to edify others in our speech rather than bringing them down with our speech. So now the third goal is this, and it's pretty simple. Ask questions. In order to help someone, in order for a discipling relationship to be mutually beneficial, we have to know and we have to understand each other in that relationship. Now that comes through questions, getting to know each other, learning about each other, what their likes and their dislikes are, what their fears are, what our fears are, their weaknesses, their strengths, our weaknesses, hobbies, goals, goals that they may have in life. See, a discipling relationship is simply two people doing life together and helping each other follow Christ more closely. Next week, Lord willing, we're going to be considering the costs of discipling. But let's pray together. Father in heaven, God, thank you for yet another day. Beautiful sunshine today. Thank you for the opportunities, Lord, that you give us, even under these current circumstances, to interact with people. And since, as far as I know, Lord, everyone has a telephone at hand, and so we are able to connect with people. And God, I pray that you would just help those that have isolated themselves in their homes right now because of the health concerns, that you would just move their hearts, Lord, to not sit and wait to be called, but to just pick up their phone and call people and start being a blessing to other people. Help us, Lord, with this concept of discipling, to make sure that in our relationships we have those two main goals, to know Christ and to do Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.